Tech and Talk Radio about all things all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
And good morning to you, and welcome to Intravenous here on Campus Community Radio, CJSF 90.1 FM, where we broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Holkaminam and Squamish-speaking people. I am Robin, and I'm joined in studio today.
And I'm Hotaru.
How are you doing this morning?
It's good. I took a tutorial this morning before this Intravenous.
Okay, so you've been up and at it for a little while.
Yeah.
I, as usual, raced here on the bus and am excited to bring you today's show. We're going to start with a little bit of music and then get into listening to an interview that I recorded yesterday with Dr. Jennifer Kanji from the Office of Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion here on campus as part of exploring SAM, which has been the theme of Sexual Assault Awareness Month this January, empowering equitable workplaces. And so we'll dig into that, and then Hotaru and I will have a little bit of a conversation based on the movie that played and some of the sort of key highlights that that we took from the notes on that film. It was, if you get a chance to see it, highly recommended, but I'll give you more details on that. We're going to start with a little bit of music. I've found a little bit of electronic synth music from this artist, Kate Brooks. This is the title track off her album Prismatics, to just get us going here.
Thank you.
Kate Brooks and Prismatics off of her brand new album. This is Intravenous on Campus Community Radio, CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm Robin.
And I'm Hotaru.
And we are together hosting the program today. If you're just joining us, welcome. And if you were with us from the very top, you'll know that we've got an interview to play for you. Yesterday I was on Zoom with Dr. Jennifer Kanji, who is the Director of Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion of Student Services here at Simon Fraser University, and also a research fellow at the Basile School of International Affairs. And we reached out to the Office of Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion to get a sense of how the university is working to empower equitable workplaces, which has been the theme for SAM over the month of January. And this is a really nice way, I think, to sort of wrap up that coverage that we've done all month. And so we will listen to that interview directly. It is just over 30 minutes long, and then Hotaru and I will be back, and we will discuss a little bit about the interview and how it relates to the film that was shown the week before as part of SAM. So here, without further ado, is my interview with Dr. Jennifer Kanji.
I am joined by Jennifer Kanji, who is with the SFU Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Office here at SFU. And we're going to chat in regards to the theme of SAM, the Sexual Assault Awareness Month's theme this year, which is empowering equitable workplaces. Thanks so much, Jennifer, for taking the time to speak with us and, you know, give us a perspective on the institution that we all work at and within, and from a student's perspective as well.
Thank you so much, Robin. It is such a pleasure to be here with you today, and thank you for inviting me. I look forward to our conversation.
Yeah. So the first thing that we'll find out is, what does the Equity Office at SFU do?
The Equity Office, as an office within an academic institution, plays a vital role in supporting the university's academic mission by making sure the institution complies with legal and regulatory frameworks, be it at the provincial, federal, or national levels, and particularly meeting standards that relate to equity, diversity, and inclusion. So the Equity Office works closely with the SFU leadership, academic units, student services, and other departments to provide evidence-based advice and to help implement inclusive and equitable practices across the university. And one of these key areas include also upholding truth and reconciliation, decolonization and indigenization to foster a more inclusive academic environment where everyone at SFU can learn, work, and do research in a conducive and inclusive space and setup. And in so doing, the Equity Office right now is directed by, I think, strategy. And our most recent strategy is the Equity Compass, SFU's first strategic equity plan. It is a 5-year blueprint that sets the stage for universities' work on EDI. And the plan kind of outlines the vision, the principles, and key goals, and also sets specific objectives to transform the SFU experience for students, staff, faculty, and the broader community. So, yeah.
That sounds like a lot of responsibility.
It sure is, but I think transformative work require concerted effort and reflection, and also consideration of both historical and contemporary dynamics that impacts the lives of diverse faculty, students, and staff. And when we consider both the human rights consideration as well as the well-being of everyone, we need to kind of look at how our policies, how our practices, what are the processes we're implementing to ensure that everyone is seen, heard, and valued.
Yeah, that's something that we talk a lot about on Intravenous, actually, is the ways in which policy is developed directly out of societal norms. And right. Those norms need to change in order for policy to look different, in order for society to look different.
Correct. That is correct. I think a part of my work within the Equity Office, but also the research I do, I do focus on issues of human rights and migration. And as part of that work, you drive a key point there that norms and the ways we advance culture also shapes how policy formation and policy development, and in turn, those policy impact human lives. So it becomes important how policies are developed, revised, reviewed, and transformed for the benefit of all. And in times, policies that may have been developed at a particular time may have had certain priorities that may have shifted over time, or with a changing population dynamic. The question then becomes, what do we need to do now to ensure that our policies and practices and processes are considerate of those we serve and the population that, and particularly within the context of a university, the diverse student population that we now serve.
In terms of the students and the Equity Office, what or how can students get support from the Equity Office? Is that something that they do individually, or is it all policy-based?
So the Equity Office structurally has three directors that focuses on kind of key components, right? I'm the director of EDI students. There is a director of EDI staff, a director of EDI faculty relation, and also actually a fourth director on EDI strategic initiatives. So as the director of EDI students, I connect frequently with students and student groups, particularly equity deserving constituency groups. But outside this formal kinds of arrangements, students are also encouraged to look to find support at the various identity-based services we have available, and that information is accessible on the SFU EDI webpage. These resources are tailored to the different needs, whether a student is seeking support around discrimination, harassment, or issues related to the identity. So it's really a whole plethora of resources that students can access. But if there are specific concerns on the students want to speak to someone specifically from the Equity Office, they can email us at edi@sfu.ca.
And we'll come back to that contact information at the end of the interview, and I'll also post that alongside the archive with this program when it's put up so that folks listening can know how easily to find you. In terms of the components of an equitable workplace environment, what would you say those are, or what sort of principles are guiding you towards that?
I think there are various components that kind of work together to create an environment where all employees can thrive and contribute equally to a success of an institution or an organization. And for me, I think equitable workplaces tend to have not only ensure fairness, but are actively celebrating diversity and inclusivity. And that can happen in a particular environment, one where leaders actively promote diversity, equity, and inclusion in both words and importantly in action. And also, I think it happens in an environment where leaders value diverse perspectives and foster an environment of trust and psychological safety and wellness. Another key component is also fair compensation and benefits. This is why pay equity is so important, ensuring that equal pay for equal work, regardless of gender, race, or other factors of identity or and intersectionality, and also making sure that employees have access to benefits such as healthcare, retirement plans, parental leave, and wellness programs. Like, I think those are typically standard right now. I think another key piece I would add is that it's important to have also inclusive hiring practices. I think folks, when they're in an environment where it seems there is favoritism or practices seem unfair, it does not cultivate an inclusive or an equitable hiring environment or employment environment. So in hiring practices, it's important that recruitment strategies seek diverse talent pools and eliminate biases in hiring. And they use structured and standardized evaluation processes to minimize biases and discrimination. So I think tied to this idea of a bias-free hiring practices, it's also important to have a bias-free performance evaluation, because performance evaluation, as we know, shapes promotion and other considerations within an institution. So having a bias-free performance evaluation requires clear and transparent criteria for performance reviews that focus on outcomes rather than people's individual characteristics or identity. And that at times requires that managers and leaders are trained to mitigate unconscious bias in evaluations or promotions or within hiring practices. There's also a need to make sure that we advance opportunities for all. And that might look like in two different ways. Making sure that diverse employees at the institutions have equitable access to career development opportunities, be it mentorships or trainings or access to conferences where they would be able to network and connect with others. And promotion practices that are transparent and merit-based with no barriers based, again, on issues of gender, race, or other identities help advance an equitable employment environment. But tied to this, these are all tend to be practices and ways of being. There is the importance of having a diverse and inclusive work culture. I think someone said, I can't recall who right now, that culture eats strategy. If you don't have the right culture, your strategic plans will not work. So having a culture that celebrates diversity, be it through events, a recognition of cultural holidays, or advances an environment where everyone can come to work authentically and believe that they are valued They can contribute because they are not only valued but respected and supported to bring their full authentic selves to work. But because I also focus on students, I'm always aware of the importance of how do we support underrepresented groups at the university, be it faculty, staff. So again, coming back to the earlier theme around policies, it's important that we actively support and empower underrepresented groups. I mean that our policies actively support and empower underrepresented groups, be it women or people of color, or LGBTQ plus employees or people with disabilities or others with any other cleavage of difference. I think it's important that we address disparities in access to opportunities and resources within the workplace. And that might require some training on, be it on EDI for employees. It would require setting clear metrics for tracking EDI progress, and also regular reporting on goals, be it with open communication, both within the institution and the community. And this is some of the work the Equity Conference does at SFU. Yeah, I think there's a lot of components to cover, but I think let's leave it here for now.
With complexity comes a complex answer, right?
Right. Yeah. You're right. These are complex topics, multiple components that come together to reinforce themselves in very interesting ways. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. As I mentioned at the top of the interview, this conversation is in relation to this year's theme for SAM, which is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and the theme Empowering Equitable Workplaces. Mm-hmm. And the view into the future, I guess, and, you know, looking at what would an equitable workplace look like?
I think that's a great question. An equitable workplace at SFU would be one where diversity is reflected across the university. This means diverse representation in leadership, faculty, and student bodies. For instance, some of the work we are doing with the SFU Special Program for Black and Indigenous Hires aim to advance that commitment. It will also be one where inclusive policies eliminate systemic barriers so that everyone is seen and heard and valued, and the policies reflect that commitment. It's one where we have robust support systems. This includes safe spaces for equity-deserving groups, accommodations for people with disabilities, and mental health services. And one where we are committed, and I think SFU is, again, I think I'm consistently reinforcing this mantra that where all members of the community feel seen, valued, and supported, because this is so important. It's that aspect around culture, right? And in relation to the theme, the same theme for this year, I think one where gender equality is prioritized, right? Gender neutral policies, pay equity considerations, other initiatives that ensure that all individuals, regardless of gender, have access to equal opportunities and advancement at SFU. We'll talk more. I think we have, I'll share more in the subsequent.
Yeah, and some of it got addressed in what you said. But the next question that I have down here is, how do we reach equity in the workplace?
Again, I think achieving equity requires a multifaceted strategic approach. The Equity Compass did outline some goals that OSFU is focusing on for the next 5 years. But to mention a few, the focus on policy reform and systemic change, where we regularly assess our policies through equity audits and equity through an equity lens to make sure they're aligned with our diversity goals. We also need to make sure we have ongoing education and training. And I think this is some of the work the Equity Office does in providing professional development and training on topics such as unconscious bias, anti-racism, as well as Indigenous rights. Or I think our respect program is one that I would encourage folks who wants to better understand the Indigenous experience to consider enrolling for. It also requires an inclusive leadership mindset where we prioritize leaders who not only manage but actively work to create respectful, inclusive work cultures. And that might be, we can strengthen that through inclusive leadership trainings, but also I think there is a need for continuous commitment from leadership to cultivate an inclusive culture. And as some of the work you do with this radio, it requires community engagement and participation. So collaboration with our local community partners and social justice organization is a cornerstone of our equity strategy, making sure that we value, for example, the land on which we are on, our commitment to upholding truth and reconciliation, our ensuring that we do our part individually and collectively to advance truth and reconciliation, as well as also supports to diverse communities within BC and specifically within the areas in which SFU operates.
One of the things, I'm not sure if you saw the film, Nevertheless, that was shown last week as part of the events for SAM. But one of the things that was really driven home in the film was this idea that this work is active work. You know, it's not a one and done deal. That there are continuous steps and continual layers that